The message I want to give today, in some ways, is probably also a good follow-up from the study on healing we had on Wednesday. So hopefully most of you were able to attend that study. If you didn't, I'd say try and get the notes, but maybe you can go through. The questions were sent out to everybody, so maybe take the time to go through those questions yourself. I'm not sure if there's going to be a follow-up study. I know we didn't get to all the questions in the study, at least not in the afternoon. But the message today is lessons from a Gentile. Oh, and I'm meant to be using this, aren't I? Is this working? There we go. Lessons from a Gentile is the title today. And maybe you reviewed this. Oh, there we go. It's just a bit slow. And so the subtitle I've got is Christ Marveled. And maybe you had this in your own notes for the study on Wednesday. I did in mine, but I didn't get to refer to it during the study. Because we didn't actually go to that one question about biblical examples, at least not in the afternoon. You may have in the evening one. But it just strikes me that Jesus Christ marveled. And he marveled at who? At a Gentile. So I just want to take a little bit of time and look at this, that Christ marveled. And marveled is one of those strange words, which I've done it with one L. Apparently you can also do it with two L's. The English language. But Jesus Christ marveled. And we find that in Matthew 8 and verse 10. So let's go to Matthew 8 verse 10. So you can go there in your... in your own copy of God's Word, which could be a hard copy, it could be an electronic copy. I use both at different times. But Matthew 8, verse 10, we have this verse where it says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And Jesus Christ marveled. And who did he marvel at? Christ marveled at a centurion, a Roman soldier. A Roman soldier. This is a centurion was a career military officer in charge of 100 men. Now the 100 men numbers could vary a little bit, obviously, especially in times of warfare. Because sometimes your numbers had to decrease a little bit because you lost men. Sometimes they'd combine and maybe the number might increase over 100. But the standard was it was 100 men, a centurion, right? And some of you obviously realize that century, you know, 100, centurion in charge of 100 men. But these men were the backbone of the Roman Empire. In fact, it could be said that they were the glue holding the army together, right? Because they took care of and looked after 100 men, and you had another centurion looking after another 100 men. It was the highest position a common soldier could reach. So you almost think in modern days, maybe sort of a bit like a sergeant major, right? They are the ones that would bark at the orders, and they were the tough men. Like, you didn't mess. You don't mess with a sergeant major today. You wouldn't mess with a centurion, right? It's almost like a dad with his kids when he's growing up. Like, you don't mess with dad, right? He can take you down, because it gets to a point where they get in those teenage years and they start to think they're a little bit stronger. But you don't mess with a centurion. And likely, I just want to emphasize this, he was likely, this centurion was stationed over 100 Jewish soldiers. Because the Roman army would come into areas, obviously had Roman soldiers, but then they would bring into the army soldiers made up of men from the areas that they occupied. And so it's very likely that, and I know this from the context of Matthew 8 and Luke 7 that we'll look at. In fact, you may want, if you've got a tag in your Bible, one of these back tags, you might want to put it in Matthew 8 and Luke 7. But he would have been stationed over 100 Jewish soldiers. That's also a good point to to look at. But I just want to emphasize this a little bit more. That this was a centurion. The man that Christ marveled at. A centurion. And I've got a picture up there. I think it's a modern day version that people reenact things and dress up. But I want to emphasize that I've already said this in the previous slides, but the backbone of the Roman army. Right, when you thought of the Roman army, you thought of centurions. That's what would be prominent in people's minds. In fact, if it was a warfare situation, the other people fighting against a Roman army would look out and be like, "Uh-oh, look how many centurions there are," because then they could multiply that by 100, couldn't they? And like, "Uh-oh, we're in trouble." Very dominating aspect for people. You know, this is not quite. Yes, it is. Okay. And I also want to emphasize, these men were not known for their kindness. Like, wasn't renowned around the world. Oh, centurions, let's get together with a centurion. Right? They were not renowned for their kindness. In fact, you would say that they were disliked by the people of Israel because they represented occupation and slavery to the Israelite people. They were tough men. Tough men. Right, you didn't become a centurion because you couldn't do the obstacle course, right? Or you couldn't have one of your 100 men challenge you and think you could get anywhere. They were tough, tough men. Right? They knew what battle was. They would be in the heat of the battle. But that also, in times more of peace, when they're still stationed like in Israel, they still had to have command of these 100 men. There's probably not many of us in this room that have been in a position where we've had command of 100 men. Even in modern times, to have command over 100 men. Some of you may have been in a position where you're working, doing a work project. But it's not very often you have command over 100 men like this. And this is who Christ marveled at, one of these centurions. This is who Christ marveled at. So let's go to, you're probably already there, Matthew 8. Let's read these verses leading up to verse 10. So if you go there with me, please. Matthew 8, let's start in verse 5. So Matthew 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." He's paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. I just want to emphasize here in verse 6, this is the only time, the example that we have of someone coming to Jesus Christ on behalf of one of their servants. And it was a Roman soldier, a centurion, that did this. Verse 7, and Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." And I also want to show here, I'm sorry, I tried to change the slide a little bit on the way here and I realized I didn't need to. But you notice here in verse 7 as well, Jesus Christ did not hesitate. There wasn't, "Hold on, you're a centurion. Why are you coming to me?" There wasn't any question. Christ responded immediately, "I will heal him." That's amazing as well. He said, "I will heal him." And then verse 8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Okay, I shouldn't have changed the slideshow because I had this working better. Okay. Again, I just want to emphasize, notice the attitude of the centurion. Hopefully you saw that already in verse 8. But think about the attitude of the centurion. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant is healed. Quite incredible. And then I've got to catch up again. Sorry. An incredible, just to finish here in verses 9 and 10. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus Christ marveled at the centurion. And so what we see here is Jesus Christ held up the centurion as an example for us, a man that we can learn from. And so I want to just bring out 4 points for lessons that we can learn from this Gentile. So number one is this centurion cared for others. He cared for others. I wanted to read through. I got ahead of myself, but that's fine. Let's read through Luke 7 through 10 first. I'm changing over to Luke 7. Let's read through the parallel account because it does read a little bit different there. So if we read through verses 2 through 10, and then we'll come back and hit a few points here. So verse 2 of Luke 7. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about it, Jesus sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was worthy. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such faith, great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So the first point I want to emphasize, the lessons learned from this centurion, is this centurion cared for others. Go back to verse 2. This servant dear to him. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So this centurion cared about those that he took care of. He cared about this servant of his. Doesn't give you details of what exactly type of servant he was, but it says he was dear to the centurion. He cared about those he had authority over, who he worked with, and he cried out to Jesus Christ. Now, have you ever prayed for someone else that may be working for you or doing something for you, helping you out? Maybe hire someone comes to your house and they might share something with you at the time and your heart goes out to them and you give a prayer out to God on their behalf. Quite often we try to do that when people do something really good for us and we can't really repay them. So we say, God, please bless that person somehow as you know best. In your time. But in this situation, this is someone who's sick, who's the centurion was in regular contact with, a servant. And he cried out to God. And also notice the attitude. These Jews were ready to go to bat for the centurion. And remember, centurions were not renowned for being nice guys, right? They were the tough men of the Roman army. And these Jewish men, remember that likely, very likely 100 soldiers, which makes sense because the centurion, he built a synagogue for them. They were ready to go to bat for the centurion. When they said, and when they came to Jesus in verse 4, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was worthy. And they talked about him. So we'll come back, obviously, to Luke 7 here, but we'll pick up some well-known verses, Matthew 13. What was the centurion showing? He was showing love for his brethren, right? For the people he had contact with. Matthew 13, verses... is this the right one I want? Sorry, not Matthew 13, John 13. I know exactly what I'm trying to refer to. I just turned to the wrong place. John 13. So it's probably better you follow what's on the screen than always listen to what I'm saying. I caught up with that. John 13. Verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This centurion was actually practicing much of what Christ was teaching us as a church. He cared for others. He looked out for what was best for others. A great example. Point number two, which really follows on from this, is that this centurion served others. I've already touched on this, and we've read the verses. But again, just to emphasize, verse 5, what do we see here? Verse 5 of, go back to Luke 7. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Right? And that was an act of service on his behalf because, Rome didn't send out a stipend and say, now when you get to an area, build a meeting place for the men you're going to be in charge of. That wasn't in the budget. This centurion would have used his own money in the building of the synagogue. Do you stop and think about that? I know we have a local building fund here in the Olympia Tacoma area. Wouldn't we love for someone to come along and say, I'd like to build you a hall, your own meeting place, where we have our own rules. We don't have to work out the rules with the people we're renting from. This centurion saw a need and he filled that need. He built his men a synagogue. That's an act of service for others. Okay, I'm just going to flip over to Matthew 23 this time. Just pull out one verse. Matthew 23 and verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Actually, we kind of heard that a little bit in the sermon, didn't we? In the sermon, it was mentioned when you get ordained to a higher rank. It's actually, as was said quite well in the sermon, it's a higher level of service. I believe this centurion understood that he was in a position of service. Because his actions show that he served others. Then point number three I'd like to bring out is this was a humble man, a man of humility. And I want you to think about that in the context of who he was. He was a centurion, and he knew he was a centurion, and he knew he'd worked hard to get that to that position. Right? This was the highest rank for an enlisted man. Right? He didn't come from money or nobility, right? From a family. You had to work up to becoming a centurion. Which meant you had to be good at what you did. And he would have understood that. But did he get puffed up? I'm a centurion, right? And swagger around. Now, he would have walked through place, probably stood upright and straight, and would have walked very confidently into any place he was going. And of course, he also had the backing of 100 men who would have laid down their life for him. But with all that, he was still a man of humility. He was a humble man. And he was a man under authority, and he understood what that meant. Quite an incredible example for us. He was a humble man. So let's go back to Luke 7. Luke 7, and just again, read this verse here in verse 7. Luke 7, verse 7. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. These were not just words of flattery, right, from the centurion. Because remember who these words were being passed on to was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ had a great advantage that we don't have. Jesus Christ could read hearts and minds. There's many verses I could refer to where Christ said, knowing what was in their heart, and then nobody had spoken something. He knew that. So he knew what was in this man's heart, and he knew the sincerity of this man. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have marveled. Right? And so just emphasizing, this was a man of humility. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. And we also see in this account from that the centurion also respected the views of others. Right? As we always, he built a synagogue for these men. Now, when he first built that, did he think, did he start off actually thinking, I don't know exactly what situation happened there when he started doing that to build the synagogue for them. But he had to believe there and respect the views of others. And also, it would have been those Jewish soldiers. Also, there would have been some talk back and forth. Well, Jesus Christ can heal people, right? And so there's all these little factors you think about that show that this centurion respected the views of others. Let's go to Psalm 147, verse 6. Psalm 147, verse 6. Psalm 147, verse 6 says, the Lord lifts up the humble and casts the wicked down to the ground. Right? There's many, many verses we can talk about humility. This centurion was a man that exemplified that. Humility. And come back to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Sorry, not. or Matthew 18, and then Matthew 5. So we'll go to Matthew 18 first. Matthew 18, verse 4. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And we rehearsed some of those verses around this. We had the blessing of little children. We thought about some of those. Was mentioned just recently in the sermons. We had the messages that blessing little children. Whoever humbles himself, and then go back to the Sermon on the Mount now, Matthew 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So this is this centurion had a trait that we need to work at. And that of humility. And of course, number 4, which is the big one, which again ties into some of the things we were talking about at the Bible study. This centurion was a man of great faith. Because Christ said he marveled. Matthew 7, verse 7. Oh, sorry, not 7. Yeah. Luke. I think I said Luke 7 and verse 7. It says, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word and my servant will be healed. This centurion said, just say the word. Right, so Jesus Christ, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then verse 8, he says, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. Right, there's no question. Go. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And I'd like to read from verse 8 from the New Living Translation. I think I put up there. So the point I'm just trying to emphasize here, that this man recognized that Jesus Christ was also a man under authority. He was under the authority of God the Father. Verse 8 for this, just want to read it here. I put up the Living Version, but it's actually just the... This is actually the updated New Living Translation. So verse 8, I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. So I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. They do it. There's a few verses in God's Word. This is where it says in that sort of line, it's like when David was talking to his son Solomon. He said, go and do it. There's other places where you get the same sort of emphasis with Joshua, etc. Go and do it. This is one of those situations where this man knew Jesus Christ just had to say, and it would be done. This is the type of faith that we need to work, strive for. When we come to God in our prayers, when we are anointed, when we have hands laid on us, as was mentioned and as discussed in the sermonette today, this is the type of faith we need to strive for, and that we know this is happening. Again, as I just want to emphasize, this was a man, when Christ said he marveled, because this man was practicing much of what Christ was teaching. He was already practicing it. And Jesus Christ said, he held this man up as an example, and he said to learn from this man. He said to learn from this man. So let's go back to Matthew 8 now and just finish off, pick it up again from verse 10. We didn't read these verses. Matthew 8 and verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And again, I know I've emphasized that a lot in this message, but Jesus Christ marveled at this man and the traits that this man showed, and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Verse 12, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out, will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 13, "Then Jesus said to the centurion," right, this is, verses 11 and 12 are not out of context here. They're part of the context of what's being said here. Because he's contrasting this centurion to many who are part of Israel. "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed the same hour." The servant was healed the same hour. This is a man of great faith. Great faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6, we often go here. When we think of faith, sometimes we've said that Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. I'm happy for people to have it in their brain like that, because it helps you remember God's word. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Right? Christ marveled at this man because the faith is something that we have to have. And Jesus, and Christ said, "I haven't seen such great faith, not even in all of Israel." Christ marveled at this man. So Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." This man, the centurion, diligently sought Jesus Christ. And he said, "Just give the word and it will be done." An incredible example for us. Incredible example. If you turn with me to Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. As I said, lessons from a Gentile. Luke 18, verse 8. "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," so I'm jumping into the context here. It says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth?" Will he really find faith on earth? And Christ held up the centurion as an example of faith and said that, "I've not found such great faith in all of Israel." So maybe I could just take a little bit of license here. And I'll put that on the screen. And say, when Christ returns, will he find faith as this centurion exemplified? Will he find faith as this centurion exemplified? So that's the four lessons I had for learning from the Gentile. Let's finish by reading again Matthew 8 and verse 10, after going through this message. So Matthew 8 verse 10 that we started with. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.